Our gracious God, we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for just the fact that there is only one person. There's only, as we sing in that wonderful hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," that if it wasn't for the right man on our side, we would have no hope. And just in case we need to know who is that right man is only Jesus Christ. And we know because he lives, our church can function with quote-unquote all the quote-unquote leaders being gone, for we know that this church is founded only upon Jesus Christ. And it's upon him that we look. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. And we thank you for that freedom of knowing that we don't hold our lives together, but we are held together by your gracious love and by the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray that Holy Spirit would minister to all those that we've mentioned, all those that are traveling today away from us, those that have returned late, those that are just worn out from travel and work. Just bring comfort. May this day truly be a Sabbath rest for them. And we thank you for that. We pray that you would continue to be with Barbara. And just thank you that it's going so well being at the Brills. And may they just enjoy each day they have. I pray that you'd be with Patty. May they be able to get on top of why the blood loss and be able to stem that. And we also pray that you would be with Dan and just may the rash and just the inflammation on his face be reduced and may he be comforted again. Be with the church as it's gathering this coming weekend. May it be a wonderful time of fellowship and a wonderful time where Christ Jesus is proclaimed. We thank you for knowing that we all gather using the same word, the same sacraments, and the same Christ. For there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and we are grateful for the privilege of being able to gather as your called out people in your name to hear your word and receive your blessed sacraments. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. We gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and fill you with the right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Amen. If you'll look with me, we'll use Psalm 23, that familiar and precious psalm, to call each to worship, and then we'll stand and sing Hymn 9, "We Praise You, O God, our Redeemer." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures, and leads me beside still waters.
He revives my soul, and guides me along right pathways for his name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrest them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved."
Thank you.
light of your truth, that they may return into the way of righteousness. Grant to all that are admitted into fellowship with Christ the power to avoid all things that are contrary to the faith, and to follow you according to the will of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. As we pray together, we pray in that bold confidence that only children can have as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us.
Amen.
I need. who lays down his life for the sheep, we give you praise. Both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down again, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to the name of Christ. You may be seated. Like the author of today's psalm, to his king, when his king was quite distressed, David played his harp. And music has a way to lift the weary soul, and it did for Saul. And it did for me this morning with our wonderful hymns and that meaningful anthem. Thank you, Mom. That was sermon enough. But since you've been cheated, the last several sermons you've noticed were quite short. We'll make it up today, and hopefully. Which reminds me of a story I've told a couple of you. Let me know afterwards and I'll tell you about a preacher and his teeth. But that's for a different day and different time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We thank you for your love, Lord. We will never understand it. We will never comprehend it. And what's even more astonishing, we will never exhaust it. For your love is perfect and infinite. And while it's beyond what we would consider reasonable or rational, that's the beautiful, paradoxical, but yet so true message of the gospel. So we pray that the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be with us all. Amen. Our incarnational God loves hiding spiritual truth in very common things. You know, there was a hymn, a song back in the 70s and early 80s I heard often, a contemporary Christian song called God Uses Ordinary People. And we're grateful that he does. But that's just the way God works. Our God, to use a term I learned growing up, our God is not, he's above all things, but he's not highfalutin. He hides deep, profound truth in very common, simple items. Let me give you a few. Water. Water is basic to life. Water surrounds us all the time, and we can find water mentioned from Genesis, where the Spirit hovered over the water, to Revelation, where there will be a calm sea surrounding his throne. And as we know, water speaks to our baptism. You look at bread and wine, the staff of life, the joy of life. It's also found from Genesis to Revelation. It's also essential to salvation and speaks to us of Eucharist. And the most basic of all, the most common of all, is word. Even babes can mutter some things. And I should have mentioned it, but I'll say it now. Congratulations to Craig and Hazel for having their first great-granddaughter, who I love her name, and I hope she goes by her middle name. It's Paisley Marshall. So even that little girl will quite soon say some word, and hopefully it's Papa, or whatever you're going to be called first. And we know, as the scripture tells us, out of the mouth of babes comes the truth. And the word is eternal. It's not only from Genesis to Revelation. We know from John 1:1, the word is eternal. So these are all quite simple things. Everybody talks. Everybody needs water. Everybody drinks wine, has bread. And the simplicity of how God works is also seen in images and parables. And the truth is couched in normal things. Today is Shepherd Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday. And the truth is, shepherd is truly common to the times of the scripture. Shepherds were, I don't want to say a dime a dozen. It wasn't, if you have a study Bible or you've heard that shepherds were despised, they were absolutely not despised. No one wanted to do it. But they were no more despised than your garbage men would be. Someone's got to do it, and we're grateful for them. They weren't despised, but it was so menial. It's also found, interestingly enough, from Genesis 4 to Revelation 12. So shepherds are all over the scripture. The term shepherd is used 173 times in the Old Testament and 18 times in the New Testament. We know that notable people in our faith story were shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. And of course, David was a shepherd. Sheep were essential for that community. If I just paint you a little bit of the cultural background, sheep were essential. It was their cash crop. They needed them for wool. They needed them for food. They needed them for sacrifice. Sheep were absolutely essential. But the problem with sheep is they're very vulnerable. They're very vulnerable. But they're easily handled. So it didn't have to be someone with a great deal of intelligence, because they were easily led and handled, and they were completely vulnerable. But it was a job no one wanted. They were totally nomadic, meaning they moved all the time. They had to keep moving. They didn't have a Cargill or somewhere where they could order, you know, a truckload of feed. They were constantly moving to where edible shrubs and grass and new growth would be there to grow on. And they aren't all together. It's not overly abundant in a desert situation. So to be a shepherd meant you were constantly moving. And the truth is, and we see this in what Jesus says in John 10 about some shepherds don't have the right intention, is what families would do, and most families didn't own enough flock to have their own shepherd. So what families would do is they would combine together, and seven or eight families might hire one shepherd to look over their sheep. That's why it was so essential that you found a shepherd you could trust. Because they're taking your cash cow on a long distance. And as Jesus points out in John 10, and he uses this that they would truly understand, not all shepherds have the best intention of the sheep in mind. There were those that were thieves. And once they were out of sight, out of mind. But so they were very much needed, but it was very menial. I wouldn't have wanted the job. They weren't despised, they were valued, but no one wanted to do it. They had long hours. It was pretty much 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They had little benefits. They worked constantly without any break. Even when they slept, their body formed a protective barrier to protect the sheep, which has very deep images for Christ our Good Shepherd. They worked in dirty conditions, and it was dangerous. There were those wolves that were out there, and it was dangerous because people would steal sheep. And so normally, they could only get children. You ever wondered why David, the youngest son, was out tending the sheep? You wouldn't send your first son born out. I mean, you send the lowest child, or the very poor, or the one that you feel is indisposable. You didn't want to send your best and brightest out to do it, and the best and brightest wouldn't want to be a shepherd. I think the closest job that I can think of, and I know this personally from having overseen or been a part of a renovation, it would be the migrant workers that we have that pick fruit that's necessary, do jobs. And I learned quite early when I moved to California 25, 30 years ago, and I heard all these things about illegal immigrants and migrants taking work, jobs from Americans. I learned something quite quickly, is they weren't taking jobs from Americans. Americans weren't willing to do that work. And it was the same thing here. It's like we need our shepherds, but who in the world wants to take on a job like being a shepherd? And in the midst of that, we have Jesus who says, I am this shepherd. So my question is, why then would God use a common, menial, undesirable role model to be the model that he demonstrated how he relates to his people? Let me see if I can give you this. Because we struggle with this. We all talk about Jesus and being a shepherd, but I'm curious. I've asked this every time I've preached on it all the years. How many of you personally have ever known a shepherd? That's always what I get. Only twice have I had somebody say they knew one, and I think they might have been lying. But, I mean, we don't know what shepherds are. But at the center of our faith is Jesus as a shepherd. That's why I belabored trying to describe a shepherd. We love the concept that Jesus is our shepherd. The Lilly Foundation several years ago did a study of non-churchgoers to find out what was the favorite scripture that they had. These are non-churchgoers. And in the pool they did, what scripture do you think ranked the most favorite scripture?
Psalm 23.
65% of the respondents of non-church attenders said, of course, the Lord is my shepherd. It's the most favorite. Many of us grew up as children looking at a stained glass of Jesus holding a lamb. It's our favorite. So why? I've laid enough foundation. Let me quickly tell you two or three reasons why I think God would use this image to demonstrate how he relates to his people. The first reason is because God relates to us as a servant and not a despot. He relates to us as a servant. Even though he's the King of Kings, even though he has a whole world in his hands, even though he is the master of everything, and the absolute sovereign God, he chooses out of his love and compassion not to relate to us as a master, but what did Jesus say? I call you my friends. And besides being a friend, I will lay down my life for you. comes to relate to us, not as one that we must serve. You can't give God anything he needs. Another psalmist said in Psalm 50, if he had a need, he wouldn't come to us because we're impotent to give the Almighty anything. He didn't come to get a bunch of servants from us. He came to serve a bunch of sinners by laying down his life. So the first reason I think is because God relates to us that way. As a servant, not a despot. Second way, he relates to us as a guide or a leader and not a dictator. Unfortunately, a lot of pietistic and religious folk have forgotten that, because as soon as you, quote unquote, give your life to Christ, they've got a list of written or unwritten rules that you need to follow. This scripture is not a handbook on life. It's not a rule book like kids or unks would pull out to see who's made what violation. This book is a book that, as Jesus himself said in John 5, is all about me. The Pharisees were misguided to be studying the scripture to find out how to live. They needed to search the scripture to find the source of all life, Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, follow me. Follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He's in the lead. How many of you have ever heard in sermons or other things or commentaries or study Bibles that sheep are stupid animals? That's a falsehood. And it's by people that haven't studied it wrong. Sheep are highly intelligent. The only thing that we think they're stupid is because Easterners move their livestock differently than Westerners do. Westerners, and anybody that's ever seen, you know, movies back when they were made like they ought to be made, Westerns. With cattle, how do you move cattle? You go on a cattle drive. And what us Westerners thought, these sheep must be stupid. Because we try to drive them, and guess what they do? They scatter. But it's not because the sheep are stupid. It's like how the dog whisperer says that most dog training is not training the dog, but it's training the owner to respond to the dog appropriately. And what the truth is, it's not that sheep are stupid, it's that sheep can't be driven, they can only be led. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. And we hear his voice and we follow. Look at what we read in Psalm 23. He leads us to food, our daily bread, his word. He leads us to rest. He leads us to green pastures. It's interesting. It's neat, just on the side, how Scripture does this. They make a big point, let me say, our notion of inspiration is verbal and plenary. It means not only the whole is inspired, but each word is. Each word's important. So he said, why do they add green? Well, it's interesting. Mark, when he talks about our shepherd feeding his sheep, at the feeding of the 5,000, in Mark 9, I think it is, he makes a real point of saying, he makes us lie down. He made them sit down on, guess what? Green grass. For this is the great shepherd who's feeding us and giving us rest. In Psalm 23, we see he leads us to peace, still waters. He leads us to life. He leads us to these right pathways. So God is leading us, not driving us. He woos us along. Our role is to hear his voice, not resist him. We don't initiate it, we respond. For that's the way sheep function, and that's the way the good shepherd relates to us. And the third way is God relates to us as our protector, not detached or absent. Verse 4, probably one of my favorite verses in Scripture. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I really wish God would have allowed me to edit that, because there'd be one thing I think better than walking through the valley of the shadow of death is, Lord, why don't you let me walk another way? Isn't there a different path? I mean, wouldn't it be easier for me and you, God, if you just gave me all good times? Then you could relax and I would enjoy. But that's God in His wisdom understands that if we did that, if He did that, He'd be quite unnecessary quite quickly in my thinking. And that's why those that are running from the Lord, as long as things are going very well, they don't see a need for God. But what do we say when people turn to God is when they hit rock, what? Bottom. It's when we're going through that and we see, even going through those long, dark, confusing, painful valleys, and we learn we're going through it and we're being protected by our shepherd, we learn to trust. If you'll flip over, if you have your scripture, in Psalm 27, I want to just wrap this up quick. I'll make that a newsletter article, which I'm planning to write one soon. Psalm 27, four verses after sort of this general declaration in Psalm 23 by David, who was a shepherd, of how God relates to us. He then demonstrates it after he declares it in Psalm 27. And I would like to let the words of the Lord minister to us as we close. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above all my enemies all around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy, and I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face, and my heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. But I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the good Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Shepherding God, we praise and thank you because you gathered your flock around Abraham. And through Moses and Joshua, you brought your sheep to a place of safety. In Jesus, you came to us as a Passover lamb to take away the sins of the world. As our everlasting good shepherd, you promise that those who hear your voice shall never be in want. For you know your sheep by name, and you call us your own. And to give to each of us a place in the sheepfold of your kingdom, where angels and archangels and all the company of heaven sing your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Sustaining God, as you lead your sheep to green pastures and guide them beside still waters, so you have fed us and led us to this table, where in bread and wine you restore our soul in Christ. Send down your Holy Spirit and restore your church through the abundance of your sacred gift of word and sacrament. As we remember the story of your Son's life laid down for us, sanctify this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Lamb, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Saving God, your rod and staff comfort all who look to you in faith. Search out your sheep that are lost and bring them home. When you find them in the valley of fear, gather them in your arms. When they face evil in the presence of enemies, follow them with your goodness and mercy all the days of their life. On that day when the shadow of death covers them, bring them to dwell in your house forever. Shepherd us with all your saints of every age into your glorious presence, where we shall behold your Lamb in seated glory. Most Holy Trinity, now and always.
Amen. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the reasons why as comforting as Good Shepherd Sunday is, it's as paradoxical or difficult to understand as Trinity Sunday. Because we at the same time understand that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd, but he's also the sacrificial lamb.
And in our finite ability to reason and comprehend, we just don't understand, well, which one are, how are you the sheep and the lamb? Well, it's amazing grace. It's beyond our comprehension, and thanks be to God that it is. A simple way, though, that I've appreciated as a young child in Sunday school, there was a book that tried to explain this, and while it, for children. And while it may sound corny, I think about it often. And it said, in trying to explain, how is Christ both the shepherd and the lamb? That wonderful Agnus Dei given for all of us. And this little book said, children, here's what you need to say to Jesus. You love me. But to understand when you say you love me, you're saying not Y-O-U, but E-W-E. That Lamb of God loves us, as only the good shepherd who lays down his life can. And because of that, I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to come and to receive the very body and blood of Christ. There will be two here to pray with you. Please spend as much time here. Think of someone that may need just a reminder that they were lifted up and prayed for. Take a card to send to them. Just to extend this table as far as the love of Christ extends, and that's to all people. This is our sacrificial lamb. Let us keep the feast.
praise you. We glorify your holy name. As that young infant, yet in the womb of his mother, would leap with joy at the presence of his Savior. And 30 years later, leap again and declare that this Savior is not only our Savior, but declare that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and now extends his good shepherdly care, not only to his sheep, to others yet, that his love extends to. So we walk in the joy of knowing that your compassion is overwhelming. And we rest in that. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and confess, close our worship, singing together hymn 233, Jesus, keep me near the cross.
Thank you.
you guys in prayer, and I was telling John and Tricia, don't worry if you make mistakes, because, and I filed up on the Apostles' Creed, and I knew I was doing it. I just wanted to demonstrate to them that mistakes won't derail anything, if you believe that. And also, I've had several people, and I've been remiss in bringing it. There is a sign-up sheet for the Sight and Sound play up in Bronx, Pennsylvania, outside of Lancaster. If you want to go to in October, all the details, and if you want to sign up to either put your name if you're thinking about going, it doesn't lock you into it. And then if you want to carpool and ride with someone else, or if you'll be driving separately. So avail yourself to that. But that's on the back table in the narthex. Now the Lord bless you. I'm sorry. Is that right? Well, thank you. I hear it's a birthday. Who's going to tell me it's their birthday? You want us to sing to you? What did she sing? Alright, just give her $10. Yes. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. And I, you know what? That's my second mistake. I didn't do that intentionally. Jen wrote me a note. Ann Binky birthday today. So I guess I should read those things. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Amen.